Hello and welcome to Leveraging AI, the podcast that shares practical, ethical ways to leverage AI to improve efficiency, grow your business, and advance your career. This is Isar Metis, your host, and I have a really exciting show for you today. Many of you approach me on LinkedIn and talk to me and share how much to learn from the podcast, but a lot of people are asking to talk to actual practitioners, people from businesses who are not just training people on how to do this, but they're actually using this in businesses and learn from them what they're doing and how they're doing it and why they're doing it. And today, our guest, Susan Frew, is the best example I've met so far of taking AI tools, going all in and really solving really big business problems. Anything from finance to operations to customer service, you name it, she's actually done it and she keeps on perfecting the process. And she's going to share with us exactly what she's doing in multiple aspects of the business. Susan and I have had multiple conversations since we met. She was a trainee in my course, and she is a renowned, sought after speaker. So she's a keynote speaker on multiple conferences, both in her industry and in other industries, talking about how to run businesses and recently how to run businesses with AI. So we talk a lot about that as well. And we have a lot of things in common. And she's a great person overall. So I know we're going to have a blast in this conversation. And so I'm really excited to welcome Susan. Susan, welcome to Leveraging AI.
In the next few years, AI technology will change our world dramatically. Whether you are a business executive trying to catapult your business forward, or just somebody who refuses to be left behind and want to advance your career, this is the show for you. I'm your host, Isar Metis, a serial entrepreneur and an AI enthusiast. You'll hear invaluable practical tips from innovative business leaders, AI practitioners, and some of the brightest AI minds in our world today on how you can leverage AI in ethical ways to advance your career and grow your business.
Thank you, Isar. I'm so excited. I have told like everyone that I know that I'm going to be on this podcast. I'm like, I'm going to be on the podcast. I've been following this podcast for so long, and this is star power. I said it's you're the Bon Jovi of AI. That's the way I described it.
Oh, my God. Now I have a really high bar that I need to pass, but I appreciate that, and I really appreciate you, and I really think that the stuff that you're doing, and we both speak at a lot of conferences, so we meet with a lot of senior people in different industries. It's not common to find somebody who's a CEO like you that also gets their hands dirty. So you run a large successful company for years that has nothing to do with tech, but it's like a home services company. And yet you yourself personally are involved in applying and testing and doing all these things, which is not common would be an understatement. Like literally, I don't know any other CEO other than you that does it at the scale that you are doing it.
There's a reason for that.
So, perfect segue. So, how did this all happen?
My background is in tech. I was with AT&T Wireless for many years and ended up my career as an international general manager of two countries in the Caribbean, Grenada and St. Vincent and the Grenadines. And I started New York City as a salesperson. But in the plumbing company, my husband and I started it together, and it grew really fast. And I kept stepping away because I really love the pull of the stage and speaking, and that's just what I love to do. And we ended up getting in some trouble, and I had to come back, and we turned it around, and then I stepped away again. It keeps going back and forth. So this is the last time I'm stepping back in. We are automating everything. And it is going to be a shining example of how you can leverage AI in your business. And then it will be time for us to move on to something else. So that is my motivation.
Awesome. So the motivation is there. So really, let's look from, and I think it's a great motivation, whether you want to step away or not, by everybody who is on the top of the pyramid in any business knows it sounds glamorous when you're not actually doing the job. Once you need to do the job, it's really tedious and it's really stressful because whether you are doing everything or not, in most cases, you're not doing the things, you're still in charge of it being successful. And if it's not, it's your problem to solve, and there's always problems to solve. And so whether you want to step away or you just want to have less stress on your hands, going through this exercise of looking, how can I automate things in my business using AI is a very important exercise. Not to mention the fact that if you don't do this and your competition will, you're going to start losing business to your competition because they will be able to do things faster and better than you and cheaper than you and still do it as good or even better, which means you're going to lose clients. So how do you get started? Like, how do you pick the use cases you want to go after? Because there's a gazillion use cases in a business. How did you get started picking the right ones?
Here's my best advice. And this is how we systemize the business. At first, writing all of our systems and policies and procedures and putting them in an AI system that we were able to put online. And that was one of the things that we started with. But we went old school. So we took big flip chart paper and put it around the room and all the people that were involved and all the policies and systems and said, okay, what systems do we have? What's broken? What needs to be refined? And what can we automate? So you always have to start from that ground floor, organic way of doing it and bringing the right people to the table. There's the humanization of that. And then automating all the pieces in there that you could in order to leverage your finances, your headcount, your resources, all of that.
So I love several things you're saying, and I'll highlight all of them because they're like a subtext of the things you said, but each and every one of them is very important. One is you don't want to do it yourself. Like one of the things I teach in my course, and you've been there, but you've actually done this before, you've taken my course. You want a committee. You want a group of people in your business that will be involved to help you in the brainstorming, to help you in the implementation, to help you in delivering this to other people in the business and so on. And so you want to start with that. The second thing is the human part is the most important part. Yes, it's a tech revolution, but at the end of the day, until you have an army of bots doing everything for you, people in the company working with you, and they must be on board. And if you don't do this with them, you try to shove them down their throats, it is going to fail. If they feel a part of it and empowered to actually use these tools to do more for themselves and for the business, then it's going to be a big success. So that's the second thing you said that is very important. And the third thing is you have to start with actually knowing, mapping your processes in the company on a detailed level in order to make these decisions. Otherwise, you will be throwing pasta on the wall and hoping something sticks, right? And it may not be the right thing. So I agree with all of those. So what were some of the things? Just give us a list of examples and then we'll dive into a few. Some of the things that you've already automated or that you are in the process of automating.
One that's an ongoing thing is the systems, because we, in the very beginning, I had written systems, but they were outdated and they didn't work and no one was following them. I put it on a program called Trainial, and like training and manual together. And we started building the systems in here and it was AI assisted, which was a huge help because, you know, how many of us stare at the screen and we have to write a policy about uniforms? And like, you sit there and look at it for 30 minutes and do nothing. So this way you just put, I need a policy about uniforms, boop, done. And then you can edit it and keep moving on. Yep. It also makes the onboarding experience with employees better. So that was number one. Another thing that we did is we added in an AI bookkeeper which categorizes all of your transactions. That does require some training, folks. That's not a out of the box perfect thing. It needs training just like any good employee. And then I moved into making some custom GPTs, which you and I have spoken about, one to help me with budgeting, one to help me analyze my financials and my business plan for the next year. I did that towards the end of 2023. And that was something that was a great experiment, and I'm still using it. I'm using it all the time. I use HeyGen, make a lot of avatars for my marketing. I'm getting ready to do another AI-based project for marketing. I have 37,000 customers in our database, and I know that there's an AI solution out there and how to reach them in the way that they want to be reached. So that's still a work in progress.
So let me touch on a few things that you mentioned. One, you mentioned budgeting. The other, you mentioned GPTs. So those of you who don't know what GPTs are going to dive and actually show you how to develop some of them. But GPTs are like a mini, very detailed version of ChatGPT. And instead of saying, oh, it can do the universe, you actually give it instructions on something very specific you want it to do. And then you can share it with your team or with other people that can then benefit from that custom version of ChatGPT. And so we're going to show you, or Susan is going to show you, how she's using that for budgeting. And I find it brilliant. Another one is Heygen. And I will share links to these things in the show notes so you have access to those as well. Heygen is probably the best tool out there today. There's a bunch of them that allows you to create avatar-based videos of either generic avatars, and they're getting better and more human. Mm-hmm. But you can generate an avatar of yourself or other people in your business and then just upload script to them that either you write or ChatGPT writes for you or anything else. And then it will say that. So you can use it for product description. You can use it for marketing. You can use it for customer service. You can use it for training inside your organization. Like literally any video you want a person talking about something, you can do, and you don't need a camera. You don't need a lighting. You don't need a studio. You don't need to edit. You don't need any of these things. And you can pop out even personalized videos that will say the name and the name of the company to every single individual differently based on Google Sheets. So it's a very powerful tool. And 36.
Which you can now speak, which is awesome.
Absolutely. It's absolutely amazing. It's one of my favorite demos. And it's one of the most jaw-dropping demos that I do when I speak, is I show people how I can speak whatever language they pick. But let's really start with the GPT about finance, because that's something I actually haven't seen anybody do before.
And I am not the financial wizard. And that is why this was the first one that I needed to create, because I needed an assistant. So what I did is I created a virtual CFO. So the way I built it, and so I like to look at these like they are a customized search engine. So this little GPT is a search engine that's going to do just this one thing for me. And I'm treating it like it's an employee. It's my CFO, and that's how I built it. Sunshine is the name of our company. So Sunshine Finance Navigator. And so here, if we go into edit GPT, this will show you how I built it. So basically,
just for one second, for those who are listening and not sharing the screen, let's stay with us. You're probably either driving or walking your dog or doing dishes, so you can't watch the screen. But there is a YouTube version of this that you'll be able to watch afterwards. And the link to the YouTube video is going to be in the show notes as well. But the way you get to GPTs, those of you who don't know how to get to them, you go to chat.openai.com, which is the regular ChatGPT. And you click on the GPT store, and then you can click on create or new or something like that on the top right corner. And then you can create your own GPTs. And then you get to the editor, in which Susan's going to share with us what she's actually doing.
I believe this is the beginning of the app store. And I missed the dot-com millionaire boom. So I'm trying to take advantage of this time. I feel like if I, as a business owner, I'm having challenges figuring this stuff out for my finances, probably other business owners are as well. Right. So what I did is I went into the back and I told it, just like you hear in really good prompt engineering, that its role is a CFO, chief financial officer of my company. And I asked questions like, how can I improve my debt? What are some strategies to reduce debt? How should I set financial goals for 24? Analyze my financial reports for insight. And then I was able to upload them, spreadsheets, I uploaded business plans, and I asked it to analyze. Now, at first, I said, analyze this spreadsheet for future cash for 2024 budget. It says, column A is not equal to column B. So it analyzed the spreadsheet. So now we had to say, analyze the data in the spreadsheet, and always saying, you are the CFO, which now I built in there. And you are going to analyze this data inside the spreadsheet and produce these questions that I have for you. And that's exactly what we did. And I actually have a new product that we're going to start demoing. So I'm in the process of writing a business plan for that. And I'm having it help me to create that process as well.
So I want to jump back to something you showed me just before we started recording. One of the exercises you did with this, which I find absolutely brilliant, is you've uploaded last year's numbers, so the actual outcome of last year, together with a plan for this year, in order to allow it to help you create a budget for your plan. And again, this is maybe not a professional CFO or an accountant, but like you said, it's not starting with a blank sheet of paper to have to figure out how to do the budget. And it can get you, it at least gets you think on a lot of things, on aspects of this that you may not think about yourself. Mm-hmm. And this is absolutely amazing.
Yeah, it's been a really fun exercise in order to work through this. And it's been really helpful to me because this isn't my background. I don't have a CFO background. You're not really a finance person. I'm learning to love the numbers as many of us do. This has been just incredibly helpful out there. And that it's just been something that I've been using for the last couple months, and I'm really loving it.
And the data you uploaded to help you create the budgeting, it was like a CSV file exported from whatever accounting system as far as your last year's numbers?
Yeah, I pulled it out of QuickBooks into a spreadsheet. I'm sorry that I can't, I'm not able to show it to you right now. I'm not exactly sure why not. But what I was able to do with it is I was able to take my last year's numbers, the concrete year till the end of 2023. And I put it in a spreadsheet and I threw it in there. And then I said, for 2024, we want to adhere to these percentages. So I feel like we weren't as successful financially as we wanted to be in 23 because we were overspending in some areas and not spending enough in the others. Just, you know, every business owner's struggle. And I told it to create the budget towards these targets. Of these
percentages of spend on HR versus spend on CapEx versus spend on marketing.
Yes.
And it helped you build a budget based on X growth, based on last year's numbers, and then the new percentages.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So that was, it saves so much time. I can't even begin to tell you. And we're starting a new product. We're going into, I want to make dog washes in people's garages because we're plumbers and we can bring the hot and cold water out there, the drain, and then we can build you a dog wash.
You need like a guinea pig that you want to test us on. I would want to hear.
I know. Isn't it a great idea? I think that the market is ready for that. I think people are going to love it. And I had ChatGPT create an amazing logo for me, which of course was spelled wrong, but I popped it into Canva AI and I fixed it. And it's called Sunshine Dogs, DAWGS, which was
cool.
Really cool. And that's our next thing. So I was also having me help create the marketing plan for that.
That's fantastic. Okay, cool. So OneGPT helps you with finances and planning and accounting and budgeting. What other GPTs did you create that helps you regularly in the business?
Here's one. So I'm a member of National Speakers Association and I live in Colorado. So I'm part of NSA Colorado. So I built this one I'm really most proud of because this is like the one that I had learned the most after all the other ones that I had created. This one, I really knew what was happening and I was able to customize it in a better way. So why I built it is speakers, professional speakers are usually always looking for places to speak. They want to improve their talk. They want to find different audiences, lots of different things that I knew a fair amount about. So when I built the GPT, I put in there and I said exactly what we wanted to do is to find speaking engagements for professional speakers. And then I added these cues in there. How can I improve my presentation? Locate speaking opportunities, compare speaking styles of industry leaders, content ideas, social media and blogs, which we know a lot of people use AI to do creative ideas with social media marketing and marketing out there, places to speak, paid and unpaid. And then I went through and I found as many articles and documents as I could possibly find. And I put them in there so that I'm now training the search engine to be able to use that information and to go out and find speaking engagements for people. And everyone's are going to be different. And another thing I put in there, which I thought was really important, was analyze my competitors. And not that you want to like go dog eat dog with your competitors. I wanted to do that for one reason. Because one, if you analyze the competitors, you might know the competitor and you can say, hey, can you recommend me for next year? Or you could also find out, do some research on them and see maybe why they got the engagement. And maybe you could pitch it in a different way or a similar way or whatever that looked like. So I thought that was a really good way of figuring it out. So this one I love. I just keep continuing to create them. I haven't made any of them public yet.
I want to generalize for a second the one you did for NSA because NSA, not the NSA people usually think about the speaking association, that kind of NSA. I want to touch on three different aspects of this. One is regarding what you said, those of you who don't know, you can upload reference documents to the GPT, which becomes quote unquote training materials for that GPT. And this could be anything. It could be your employee handbook if you want to allow employees to ask questions about how do they get PTO days. Mm-hmm. This could be reference materials on how to write specific Scrum procedures if you're in a software company. This could be the actual segments of the book Traction on how to run EOS properly, like literally any reference material you want. And then the GPT can use that information in order to answer the questions and to have a very specific conversation with the person. So this is something people need to know. The other thing that I find that is really helpful, and that's something you did at scale here, is you can define these conversation starters. Instead of, again, letting mm-hmm. people get into the GPT and kind of figure out what you want it to do, you can define these initial conversation starters. Like you said, in this particular case, how do I find more speaking gigs? How do I find my competitors and maybe where they spoke or how much they make? These kind of mm-hmm. things.
Yeah.
And you can generalize this to any other thing you want people to use the GPTs for, which then, like you said, you can give it to anyone. And then those people, and this anyone could be people within your business or the world. And then people can benefit from that particular tool.
And another one that I created, this spark of awesome. So I did a keynote weekend for a client, and the theme of their conference was spark. So I took my book, Compete on Awesome, Not on Price, and I completely changed the cover with their logo, and I met the person who was running the conference. She wrote the foreword. And then I created two additional chapters in there using AI. I self-published it on a AI site called Book2Digital. I'm forgetting it. I'll send you the link to it. Draft2Digital. That's what it is. And I was able to produce the book for $2. And yes. Then created for the same conference their own GPT on how to deliver better service and everything else for that conference. So then you can do that. You can totally customize the conference experience now for your clients.
So I want to add, first of all, I find this absolutely brilliant, like everything else you do, but I will say something again to generalize this. The age of AI, one of the gifts it gives us as business people, as marketers, is personalization that wasn't possible before.
Mm-hmm.
Right, you can personalize everything. Think about what Susan just said. She personalized a book for a single conference that happens once in a lifetime, right? But she created a book that had additional chapters, printed the book, and brought it to the conference, an actual physical book. But it's a one-off, right? It's a variation of the book she already created that is customized to this conference. I teach in my courses how to create one-off brochures. If you have a client you really want to get, don't give them the general brochure you give them.
Yeah.
Create a brochure for them that will talk to their pain points, their needs, their industry, their drives and motivations. And historically, that was cost prohibitive. That's why we didn't do it. And it took a very long time. So it just didn't work. But now you yourself, whether you're the CEO or the salesperson or the head of marketing or doesn't matter what you are, you can create a high-end professional looking brochure that would be customized to the specific needs of a specific client and walk with it to the meeting without investing 3 weeks and $6,000 to create that brochure. And so the ability to create customized things that really make you stand out. Like, I've never seen anybody show up with a book customized for anything. Definitely not for one conference. And so I find this absolutely brilliant.
Thank you. I thought it was pretty cool too, and it was a lot of fun. And I definitely do think that will set me apart. And now I also don't know if you can see this one, Granny GPT. So that's when I start getting a little too old to be hitting the conference scene. I can use that one. I can create my avatar of what I look like now. And so Granny GPT, I'm joking around with it, but not really. It's a GPT to help the older generation be not afraid of AI.
That's
fantastic. So where can I get more coupons? Yeah, where does my AARP card?
I want to say something about this as well. And this is where I really like the platform that they've created. It allows you to experiment without taking any risks and while having fun. And as you're doing this, I'm like, oh, I'm going to develop a granny GPT that will do whatever. It doesn't matter. Like I'm saying, how do I find coupons? And when you do that, you're going to learn how this thing works. And you can experiment back and forth, and there's no risk. It's half joke, half I'm actually helping other grandmas. But in the process, you're going to learn how GPTs work, which will allow you to actually implement this for other stuff in your life and in your business. Could be personal life as well, like planning trips. Like we like taking trips as a family. Creating a trip planner GPT, and I'm sure there's a gazillion of them already, but you can create one for yourself that is customized to your needs, to the age of your kids, to the stuff you like to do. And then it can help you find trips in your budget, in the types of things you want to do. So don't be afraid of this thing. Literally go ahead, play with it and have fun.
Yeah, it's going to be a wild ride. I'm really excited. I love making these GPTs. I always say, like, I'm not a creative person. Like, I don't do crafts or sew or anything, but this is my creativity. And I actually told my neighbor that a few weeks ago. She loves to sew and she sits in her house and sews for hours. I'm like, okay, AI is my sewing, because I will sit in here and watch videos and I'll create things and it's just so much fun. And I just really want to encourage people not to be afraid of it. Like, dive in there a little bit at a time, baby steps, look at the human element first, see what you can automate, see what you can then free up so you have more time to go and do more powerful things and serve the world in a better way.
I want to piggyback on the last two sentences that you said, because a long time ago, I had another podcast that was called The Business Growth Accelerator. And in there, I interviewed a woman that had she's a psychiatrist, and she had a psychiatry business. Like, she had her own clinic and people and so on. When she started, she was just on her own. And she said that one of the first things she did as the business started growing is she drew a chart of all the things she did not want to do. And then it's like an org chart, right? It's like an org chart that has titles and things like tasks that needs to be done and a number underneath that. And the number was the budget she needs to have in order to hire a person so she doesn't have to do it. And I found that, I still remember this. This was like 3 or 4 years ago, because I thought it's a brilliant approach for a solopreneur starting to grow a business. That's the way to think, because that's your only way to grow. Like, you cannot do finance and accounting and marketing and sales and the actual job on your own and scale. Just not doable. So she basically said, if I hit $50,000 in cash, like free cash flow, I'm going to hire somebody to do this. Then if the next $100,000, I'm going to hire somebody to do this. Now you can do this without the $50,000 to $100,000. You can literally have AI automate a lot of the things that you don't like to do, or that you're just efficient at, or like you said, that you can bring value doing other things, and just follow the list. Just go from top to bottom, the things that you either hate the most or that waste the most amount of your time, and just automate them one by one. But don't look at it from a personal perspective. Look at it from a business holistic perspective. What in the business can we automate to save everybody time and make everybody more efficient?
I've been able to track, we're going to save $120,000 in our budget. And that's a lot for a $2 million a year company.
That's so incredible.
That's a lot of money. But what I also think, and I think this is people listening need to remember this, is that your competitors are going to start doing this too. And they already are. If you want to take a wait and see position, you're going to get lapped. And you need to get out there and start using some of the things, because I can cut this much cost in my little company. Imagine what bigger companies can do. And it's just people doing more. Like, it just expands what you're able to produce. And that's really the key, using it as a helper. And the word co-pilot's already been taken, but it basically is, that's what it is.
Okay. I want to ask you, I think, like I said, I think $120,000 a year in savings for a company that does $2 million a year is insane. Can you break this down to me, at least the big buckets, where most of the savings are coming from? Because I'm sure people are asking themselves the same question.
Do you want me to show Hey Gen, or do you want me to turn this off? I can.
Let's talk about the savings, and then maybe we can jump to Hey Gen, maybe.
Okay. Yes. So here's the savings. So one of them is on the bookkeeping. So our bookkeeping is pretty complicated, because 8 trucks times 3 transactions a day times. So what I was able to do is I use a program called Bookie, BOK.AI, not to be confused with the bookie that I had in New Jersey. Don't I was growing up teasing. But anyhow, so that helps to categorize things. I don't know if that's working all that great yet. That's definitely a trainable thing. But I was able to then find someone on Upwork to do the other portion of it, right? So instead of, so the AI did part, and then I found someone in Indonesia that could do it, and they were trained in my program. So it was perfect. We were definitely able to save a fair amount on the marketing with using HeyGen, using different scripts, using all kinds of funnels and things like that, that we are now doing ourselves. We're able to write our own ads mm-hmm. that way. We were able to save over $2,000 a month on the answering service because now we're using the AI answering service, which is a work in progress. We're getting there, but it definitely was a huge savings. And we continue to just keep finding things like that's going to continue because we were paying about $10,000 a month in marketing and we can't compete with the really big players on pay-per-click. So we need to be finding alternative ways and creative solutions to capitalize on our existing customers already like us and be marketing in a more organic way because the pay-per-click market for us is really out of reach.
Yeah, I agree with 100%. When I was running the travel company, just to tell you how much I understand what you're talking, I was a relatively small travel, online travel company. And mm-hmm. when I say relatively small, we're doing $100 million a year. That's not really small. That being said, Expedia is doing $70
billion. Yeah.
So their budget, again, now real numbers of 6 years ago when I was still in that business, they were spending $2.5 billion a year on marketing. $2.5 billion on marketing. So obviously, mm-hmm. I was not able to compete with them. So you have to find smart ways. And if you can find ways where AI can help you, that's incredible. I want to ask you specifically about the answering service. So first of all, which software? Using AIR or using something else?
Zyra Talk. Z-Y-R-A Talk.
Okay. So there's a bunch. For those of you who don't know, there's a bunch of services out there right now that allow you to train a call center. And the call center sounds like a human and it connects to a data set that you need to train it with. And then it can be a call center. And knowing some of these companies and some of these tools and where they even are right now, I would be really surprised if call centers exist 5 years from now, because there's going to be absolutely no reason for them to exist. How was your experience so far? Did you just get started and you're not sure yet?
We just got started and there's a few hiccups. And I was watching it over the weekend because I could see the conversation as it was happening. And I was like yelling at it, no, say this. But of course, I really couldn't get in there. It's just observing like a panicked parent. I was helicopter mom over the whole thing. But I think it's trainable. It definitely is trainable. We've only been using it for 3 days. I can't really make a determination. But I think there were a lot of calls that were booked. That was for sure. And now we need to go in and answer some questions. It didn't know that you couldn't pay invoices on our website.
Yeah.
So we need to go in and change that. And there's all different ways to change it. So it's us adding all that information in. And I feel like it will continue to get better. But once again, you have to systemize the routine and humanize the exception. And as the person needs to jump in there when it starts going sideways a little bit, which is what I did. I picked up the phone and I called that person and apologized for that silly answering service that we had. Didn't tell her it was AI. She didn't know it was AI. She just knew it was aggravating her. And I could watch the transcript live as it was happening.
So I love that. And I want to, again, just generalize this and talk about something very important for all these tools. You're never going to hit gold the first time around, whether you're just starting to use ChatGPT and trying to prompt, creating GPTs, or training a answering service that is AI-based. Like, it's a process that keeps making you and the AI better and better. And the way I like to explain this to people is think about you hired the most capable intern ever. It's still an intern. Like, if you tell it and go, write my business plan for next year, it's not going to end up very well. But if you think about it like an intern, you say, okay, if it's actually an intern, I will spend an hour sitting with her or him or it, depending mm-hmm. on the situation, and explaining everything they need to know to do this particular task because it's an intern. But then because mm-hmm. it's the best intern ever, in this particular case of AI, it's going to do an amazing job. And every time you give it a comment to make it improve, it's going to take that into account and do a better job next time when humans sometimes would and sometimes wouldn't. So think about it as a human, as a new employee, and think about how much you would invest in a new employee to get the best out of them. If you do that, you'll be just fine using AI.
There's a site, and I think I've heard you mention it on the podcast or maybe in the training. There's a website and a newsletter called There's an AI for That. And I love that site because the cool part is I like the count on the top because it keeps like a rolling count of how many different AI programs there are in the world and how they're ranked and how many people are using them. And I'm not 100% sure how accurate all the info is, but it helps you to find, I want to automate this process. So just go in there and write that and all of the AIs in that topic will come up. And I especially like the Gen Z translator GPT because that was really fun to play with. I love that one. For parents everywhere, you have to get that one.
Yeah. And by the way, for those of you to understand how many we're talking about, I just looked it up. It's close to 13,000 tools that are there right now. So the number is endless. And there's always, as you mentioned somewhere along the talk, I'm sure there's a tool that does that. There is a tool that does that. You just got to find it and find that it's right for you. It could be not for you because of your setup, your background, your company, your personal needs or skills. But there are AI tools today almost for anything. Susan, this was absolutely phenomenal. I had a blast, lots and lots of value. If people want to follow you, invite you to speak, learn from you, connect with you, work with you, what are the best ways to connect?
Susan Frew Speaks. Just remember that. And Frew is spelled F-R-E-W. You can find me on LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook. My website is also Susan Frew Speaks. I also have susanfrew.ai. Yes. I got it before GoDaddy raised the price on the domains. So yeah, I would love to connect. And I have a prediction. You and I are going to be on the same stage one day. We're going to speak at a conference. I don't know which one, but if you're a meeting planner listening to this, you need to hire both of us. Opening keynote, closing keynote.
I would love that. And I think if we go up together, we tag team this, it's going to be the best keynote ever, probably.
That's right. Yeah.
So I really appreciate you. I really appreciate the time you spent to share your experience and your business experience with us. And thank you so much.
Thank you.